Chapter 22, Florida. A handful of trucks were parked outside the little wooden house by the river. Shady Oak, the sign above the door said. It looked shady indeed. I entered the old wooden house. It didn't seem like it would be able to withstand a hurricane, but on the other hand, it was so old that it must have done just that several times. The place was quiet and there was a smell of beer. It was more of a bar than a restaurant. The walls were filled with old signs, beer posters, and registration plates. A few lonely slot machines were standing to my left with flashing lights, waiting for someone to throw in a quarter. Six or seven truckers with flannel shirts and caps were sitting in the bar, each holding their beer in hand. No one was talking to each other, and there was no music playing. The jukebox looked like it had given up and died years ago. One of the guys in the bar cleared his throat, and the bartender bumped two glasses together, but apart from that, the only sound heard was a little buzzing noise coming from a refrigerator. It felt like a place where time stood still. Derek entered through the door behind me and broke the silence. He had a little grin on his face and said something about getting us a local specialty. His wife had been worried about letting a stranger in their house, but he had assured her that I was just a down-to-earth jiu-jitsu guy traveling the world and couldn't possibly be a murderer or something like that. I told him that there was nothing to worry about since I had put the whole serial killing thing behind me years earlier. He laughed, and I didn't blame him for that. It really was a quality joke. We were sitting on the patio over the river with alligators both on our plates and in the water below us. A young couple next to us reminded me of the rednecks from The Simpsons. Derek said he had come to that place since he was a kid and claimed they made the best alligator tail in the area. Signs all over indicated that it probably wasn't a good idea to go swimming unless you wanted to end up on some alligator's plate. Growing up in a country with absolutely no mortal threat from wild animals or natural disasters, it was quite interesting to be in a place where you had to be on guard from nature itself. It was time to head to the gym. As we walked through the little bar, I stood for a moment in the door and studied the scene one last time. The lack of pace in that place was almost paralyzing. I was reminded to wake up and leave as two of the truckers turned around towards me in their bar chairs and gave me a look that said, "What do you think you're doing here, kid?" Like something from a Western B movie, just in the east. Looking through the storefront windows, Gracie Baja Orlando seemed like a really big place. I had to fill out a waiver in the reception, and there was a $10 mat fee. Before I had a chance to say that I left my money in the car, Derek had whipped out a note and thrown it under the desk, insisting on paying for me. A few guys in the locker room recognized me and told me they were following my blog. It was a bit weird to suddenly be a celebrity in that way, but promoting the trip online was an important vehicle for making all the traveling possible for me. About 30 or 40 people had shown up for the class, and I counted a handful of brown and black belts in between the others. Aside from my training with Ryan, I no longer had any thoughts in my mind about how I would perform against high-level guys. No worries, like I had earlier on the trip, whether I could live up to my belt color or not. At that point, I had rolled with hundreds and hundreds of strangers and gyms along the way, and it didn't bother me a bit anymore. I did pretty well with most other brown belts. They rarely surprised me with any moves that I hadn't been exposed to before, and I had a lot of confidence in the game I played myself. I partnered up with Derek for the techniques. He was a purple belt and in tremendous shape. After 20 minutes, we started doing a guard passing round. It felt like some guys went a little hard on me to begin with, and I got swept every single time I was in. It was important for me not to go too hard on people being a guest in their gym, at least not before I had gotten to know them first. I spent a lot of time standing in line and waiting with all the white belts who got swept like me. I had let people play their guard game in order for me to try and understand what they did. The better I understood my opponent's moves, the better I could handle them later in sparring. The round ended for me when a guy did a perfect Steven Seagal front kick to my balls. I had forgotten my cup in Montpellier, and now it was most likely lost somewhere in a postal office in Asia on its way to Borneo. I was probably not allowed to wear it in training anyways, and definitely not in a Gracie Baja gym. After sitting by the wall a little while to give my future kids a rest, I was ready for sparring. In the first round, a guy headbutted me in the balls as he tried to pass my guard. "What the fuck is up with you guys in my balls?" I laughed as I fell down on my back in pain. Another round was skipped before I was up for rolling again. No one can ever make me understand that stupid rule about not being allowed to train with a cup. My game felt much better than my last training session, the hangover catastrophe in Virginia. This time, I had actually rested and hadn't been drinking the night before, so that probably helped a bit. The moves I had decided to practice on the trip had become solid weapons in my arsenal, sharpened to near perfection in gyms halfway across the world. I could hit my arm drag, double leg sweep, and stiff arm side control escapes on almost everyone at that point. Derek asked me to show him how I did it, as I had escaped his side control for the fifth time with the same move. Another guy I rolled with was a very skilled and tough blue belt. I took his back and sunk in a bow and arrow choke. He didn't intend on tapping, and before I knew it, he went limp. Everyone stopped rolling and looked at me as they realized I had just choked the guy unconscious. It reminded me of the similar awkward situation in New York. The guy laughed when he woke up again, realizing what had happened, and said it was his own fault for being so stubborn. I was happy that I had regained my pace. It had only been a quick visit for less than 48 hours, but I had nothing but good memories to bring along in the backpack. The feeling of surfing the world was back, and I intended to keep up the pace as much as I could for the time to come. The next day, I was visiting my old friends on their boat in the Virgin Islands, and from there, anything could happen.